Well, I want to say that I'm extremely happy that you're doing this. I think it's an absolutely beautiful idea, and we must have one on the 100th anniversary. You know,
yes.
America was started in two waves. One was by slaves going to Virginia and the southern part of the country. The other was by the Pilgrim Fathers, and they landed near Boston, and Master landed near Boston, and he brought that spiritual wave, a new, more enlightened wave, to Boston and America. And I've often thought of him as conquering America in the way that William the Conqueror conquered England, because his conquest was a real conquest, even though he didn't use swords. You know that when Master was lecturing across the country, he was the most popular speaker in America. It's hard to believe. But he began by living for 3 years in a little apartment in Boston. And he had a few teachers come. I think what he was doing was sort of getting used to American culture, used to speaking English, and he had his own experiences. There was one time when he was followed by a group of girls laughing, and because he had long hair. And he said, you know, if you were in my country, you would be dressed differently, and we wouldn't mock you. So is it right to mock somebody just because he dresses differently or has long hair? And they, of course, knew and apologized. But you all must know the story, surely, of the time Master was at a big fair in Boston. He wanted to go to the men's room. So he asked a guard there, and the guard pointed to a room, and he came in, and he said, oh my goodness, ladies to the left of me, ladies to the right of me. And he got out of there as quickly as he could. And they asked the guard again, and the guard pointed toward the women's room, and he said, I want the men's room. So he showed him where the men's room was, and when Master went in there, not in here, lady, not in here. Well, Master did have a beautiful face and long hair. There was one time when a porter on a train walked up and down looking at him from one side and the other. Finally said, is you a man or is you a woman? And Master said, what do you think? In a deep voice. Anyway, I really am looking forward to seeing pictures of the place you're visiting. And I congratulate you on all the effort you've made to ferret these places out. Have you heard the story of Dr. Lewis's first meeting with Master? Have you? Share
with us, Swamiji.
What?
They're asking you to share with them.
Okay, well, Dr. Lewis, when he met Master, he wanted to talk with him, and Dr. Lewis went into a back room after a talk, I think it was. Master seated him cross-legged on the floor and looked at him very deeply. He gave him an experience of the spiritual eye and the Sahasrara and everything. And then he said to him, will you always love me as I love you? And Dr. Lewis said, yes, yes, I will. And Master then blessed him and accepted him as a disciple. It was Christmas Eve. And Dr. Lewis, when he got home, he saw Mrs. Lewis at the top of the staircase with a rolling pin. Because he was coming home so late. But she saw such an angelic expression on Dr. Lewis's face. She said he can't have been up to any trouble. And so she forgave him. Anyway, Master in those days, people didn't understand at all what he was. But he, from there, launched his worldwide work. And I think it's really a wonderful thing you're doing. Now, can you Would you like to ask a question or two?
Yes.
Yes. We would love to, Swamiji. This is Tracy Anderson, and I wanted to let you know there is a woman here, Kathleen Elliott, from Westchester, New Jersey, from New York. And she received discipleship initiation today at the YMCA chapel where Yogananda first stayed 90 years ago today. And she feels deeply blessed to have had such an experience today.
I'm gonna have to ask Josie to translate.
There's a lady there who received discipleship initiation today at the YMCA chapel, the YMCA where Master stayed 90 years ago. And she felt deeply blessed by it.
Oh, that's great. You know, Boston was my own tramping ground, you might say, for some time, because I went to Brown University, and I had my friend Rod Brown in Wellesley Hills. So I often went to Boston, and I liked it. But there was a certain snobbishness. I hope that's gone by now. They used to say Boston where the Cabots talk only to the lodges, and the lodges talk only to God. I don't think that's the case now. Anyway, I'm very happy for you. And welcome and congratulations.
Thank you, Swamiji. We have a question. Please share with us about the bliss that you are feeling and how we can also feel bliss.
Please share with them about the bliss that you are feeling and also how they can feel bliss.
I tell you, it isn't something you have to struggle for. It uncovers itself. You try in order to understand that you didn't need to try at all. The more you relax in yourself, the more you love God, the more that bliss wells up inside you. And it comes as something of a shock. I don't have it all the time, but it's always there. And the thing that has amazed me is the realization that it's always there for everyone. But most people don't see it because their consciousness is layered over with all sorts of other desires that take them in different directions. But bliss is the nature of every human being because God is Satchidananda, ever-existing, ever-conscious, and Master added the expression, ever-new. And I've come to understand that ever-new has a very real and deep significance. Bliss, ever-new, means not only that it is always fresh and as if for the first time, but that in every atom of space, that bliss is different. It's somehow, the bliss that every human being feels is, in a way, his own bliss, and it's different, in a sense, from that of everyone else, because Master said that every atom is downward with individuality. In Florence, some months ago, I was in a hotel room, and I woke up with this dream and this sudden realization. I had in the dream a scene of all sorts of people of many different states of consciousness, and I realized suddenly that every one of them was only seeking bliss. He may have been a criminal, he may have been a hard-headed egotist, and yet everybody underneath everything, he wants that bliss, and he wants it because he knows that is what he really is. And this is our greatest reason for loving everybody in the world, not for their personalities, but because they all want the same thing. And they will each one seek it in a different way. No two people's path to God is exactly the same. There is many types of Christianity, for example, as there are Christians. Everybody's approach to God is unique. And everybody's experience of God is in some way his own. It's an absolutely incredible concept when you consider that Jesus said, Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And you think that he who produced this vastly complex universe, how could he possibly have done it? It would take a sophistication beyond all human imagination, and yet he had to be like a child to do it. The thing is that when you can eliminate your ego, when you can work from zero, this is what it is. God isn't childish. He's childlike in the sense of he doesn't judge anything. He accepts everything as it is. There's no sense of inner reaction. I like, I want, I don't like, I don't want. There's only that sense that you are a zero. And from that zero, he could create everything in all its vast complexity. If we apply that to ourselves, we can understand that the less we think we are doing a thing, the more we can reduce self-consciousness to zero, the more we're able to accomplish. I don't have to try to do things, because the more I don't think I'm doing them, I can do much more. And I think that my life is some testimony to the fact of having had some way of being able to produce all those books, all that music, etc., etc., etc. When I look back on some levels of awareness, I sort of gasp in horror, and then I think, well, but it was so easy. I would ask for a melody and say what I wanted, and suddenly there it was. And you will see that it isn't that not thinking that you are the doer means you don't do anything. Let God be the doer. Like that story of the time when I was lecturing in Hollywood Church, and a woman afterwards said she'd love the talk, and I said, well, God is the doer. And she said, oh, really? As if saying, well, I knew it was good. I didn't know it was that good. But I didn't mean that. I meant that he does everything, even those things that we don't do well. In fact, Master said that even when you make mistakes, even when you sin, give the credit or the blame or whatever you want to call it to him. Say, you did it through me. That's not just sloughing off the responsibility for doing it. It's giving responsibility to him alone, who alone can change you. So the more you give your actions to God, the more you find yourself becoming free of any personal motives. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, nishkaham karma, action without desire for the fruits of action. Master came to America to launch a whole new outlook on life. And that outlook is part of what I'm talking about here. To live for God, and to realize that you're really living only for yourself, but for your higher self. And that if you live for any lower self, the ego, in other words, you will never find what you're looking for. Because what you want is that which gave power to the ego even to exist, and that is the power of bliss. Any more questions?
Yes, one of our youngest members has a question. Kat, I'm going to have her come up. I ask it. She said, did Yogananda have pets?
Did Yogananda have tests?
Pets.
Certainly he did.
Pets.
Pets. Oh, pets.
What?
Did Yogananda have pets? Pets.
What's the word, pets? Well, you know that pet deer at Ranchi. But no, he didn't have pets. Somehow that one stumbled into the scene, but he didn't have pets. He had too many pets in us, I think. He was trying to bring us up, not from the animal to the human level, but from the human to the divine.
That's the girl who
asked. Another question. Do you hope or a reconciliation with SRF in your lifetime?
Do you hope for a reconciliation with SRF in your lifetime?
I don't know if you've read my book, I'm rescuing Yogananda. But it was written only with that desire. There was no malice or desire for revenge. If I'd wanted revenge, I'd have sought it long, long ago. But I would very much like, in some way, to shake them into thinking that we do need to work together. But whether we do or not, we're here serving Master and doing it beautifully. And my main concern in Los Angeles is not to correct anyone, but to inspire everyone with the sheer beauty of his life, his inspiration, his sweetness, his compassion, his forgiveness. Everything about him was the most perfect that I've ever seen in my life. And I see that 15 minutes are up, so I suppose I'm supposed to stop now, no?
Go on as long as you want.
Well, I'll go on a little longer. Any more questions?
Yes. What services to humanity are necessary to focus on at this time?
What services to humanity are necessary to focus on at this time?
I think we need to get people to think more in terms of helping other people and not to think like that rat in Charlotte's Web, the movie, "What's in it for me, Charlotte?" We have to understand that we get much more when we give than when we take. Mankind needs to understand enlightened selfishness, that the reason for being moral or good or kind is that it's better for you. Everybody can respond to that one more easily than if he thinks he's giving up something to be kind to others. Here in Los Angeles, I've seen that the spirit has become a little bit more like New York right now. People walk by each other, don't even have any eye contact. And I always like to practice what Master said: when you see somebody with a dour face, shoot him with the pellets of a happy smile. And he, so I try to do that with people. Any other thoughts?
Yes, Swamiji, today is the exact 90th anniversary of Master coming to Boston. We went to the YMCA today. And what can we do to grow his work on the East Coast? We've had a lot of starts and stops.
Today is the exact 90th anniversary of Master's coming to Boston. They went to Boston for that purpose. They wonder what they can do to grow his work on the East Coast. There have been a lot of starts and stops in that.
I don't know. You have to find that out. Try looking for opportunities. You have to work with individuals. But if you can inspire a few individuals to say that this makes sense. I know California is more open than the East, and we've always found that to be so, unfortunately. But I do believe that the time is coming. You know, I think we're on the eve of that great, great depression that Master predicted. And I think that it will be, he said himself, it'll be much greater than the Great Depression of the 1930s. So that too will make people think more in terms of one another and doing things together. I would say that a very helpful thing for everybody would be to think seriously about getting land near Boston in the country where people could go and live simply together. These ideas of world brotherhood colonies that Master recommended so strongly are going to spread, as he said, like wildfire in the world. I think, I'm postulating, but I think that these cities have to go. I think that cities are, they produce the disease of selfishness, competitiveness, not thinking of anybody but oneself. And I think that the cities are no longer going to have to be a way of life for everyone. The computers are one big reason for being able to believe that. people will be able to live away from big centers and still sell and communicate and do business. And I think that more and more people will go out into the country and try to find a simpler way of life where they can share with a few friends instead of being surrounded by strangers. I think that this will be forced upon men by the destruction worldwide of big cities. And this is a shocking thing to say, but I do think it's probable. A Great Depression will mean probably a great war. Master predicted a world war. He said it would be much worse than anything before because there are now 35,000 atomic weapons stockpiled in the world, and that's only the known weapons. I think that if one person drops an atom bomb, others will drop atom bombs. Master said no corner of the earth would be safe. And the places most attacked would be, of course, the big cities. Don't expect a happy future for a few years. I think that time is beginning, has begun, and any attempt to say that we're just coming out of a recession is wishful thinking. The government lies. You can't trust their statements. You must remember that if this happens, think of getting food into the inner cities. Who will be able to stop the... I mean, people will gather in crowds to stop those trucks from entering the inner cities. I think there's going to be starvation. I don't want to be negative, and I don't want to frighten you, but I do want you to understand that this is the time to take very seriously my suggestion, Master's suggestion, that you go out into the country, find land there, grow your own food, and live simply. The future will be very different. We're entering a new age. What is really happening is a great struggle between old ways of thinking, Kali Yuga ways of thinking, and new ways of an age of energy. And in this age of energy, people will be seeing everything in a completely different way, no longer fixed and firm and solid, but flowing. So we're coming to a time of real crisis between old and new. And somebody regressed many people to ask them, why did you come on earth at this time? All of them knew that they would be born in a very difficult time. Not one of them regretted it. This is a time of great potential spiritual growth. Yeah?
Swamiji, you speak to us about devotion.
Can you speak to us about devotion?
Devotion is loving your own higher self. They say love yourself. I remember at a conference, somebody was singing a song, I love myself just the way I am. Well, yes, if you like suffering and everything, you love that. I don't think any common sense person will. But to love our true self means to love that self in everyone. And the best way is to think of God, just you have to be like a little child before him. Say, naughty or good mother, I am your child, and you have to release me. I think devotion to God as the Divine Mother is the best form, because the mother is more compassionate than the father. The father is more reasoning, but actually consciousness itself is defined much more in terms of feeling than of reason. Reason observes impartially. Feeling gets involved. That's why the definition of yoga, according to Patanjali, is yoga citta vritti nirodha. Yoga is the neutralization of feeling. So as you go through life, don't get excited or depressed. Don't let things affect you personally. I remember one time in Hackley School in Tarrytown, I was 13 and I weighed 107 pounds. And Tommy Mather, next door to me, was 15 and weighed 230 pounds. Anyway, he beat me up one day and I just refused to care. Somebody said later, why did you cry for help? I said, because I wasn't afraid. The wonderful thing is that in this case, as an example, he left me alone. I really beat him because I just accepted it. So if you will accept what comes to you and don't react, you will find that in the end, you become a master of every situation. Well, my dears, I think that's long enough. And I will bid you goodbye with great love. Very happy to see you all. Thank you for being here and for my being here and for this opportunity to share.
Thank you, Swamiji. Thank you.
Turn it off.
So I'm just going to pan the room.
He's going to pan the room and show you everybody who you have to see.
He's going to show you everyone who's there.
Okay. Well, it's not doing
it's
it.
It's not working.
Okay.
It just
well, except for that hooded figure on the left there that I can't see the person, everybody looks beautiful. And thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there they are in Boston.
Yeah.
I think they didn't have a very fast connection, and
yeah.
So that's why we couldn't see
is
clearly. But
yeah,
they certainly got, you know, the full experience of you,
so
as if you were in, yeah, from their side.
Their side also looked better. The image of you looked better on their side than their image looked on ours.
Good.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.